Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The government is adding 8 non-EU states to its list of countries from which people can travel freely to the Czech Republic. The Ministry of Health is to publish a daily updated map showing level of COVID-19 risk by district. And the Czech car industry is said to lose at least 215 billion crowns in 2020. The government will on Wednesday add 8 non-EU states to its list of countries from which people can travel freely to the Czech Republic. Those countries are Montenegro, Serbia, Thailand, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and South Korea. As of now, Czechs can only freely enter Montenegro and Serbia among the states on the list. The Czech list is around half as long as one approved by European Union member states, including the Czech Republic. From Wednesday, the Czech Ministry of Health will publish a daily updated map of the country showing the relative risk of COVID-19 in each district. The map will take into account rises in newly detected coronavirus cases, hospitalization, and other trends over the previous day and week. National Health Statistics Chief Ladislav Dušek said that a risk score would rate districts from 0 to 10. Districts with no known occurrence of COVID-19 will get a 0 rating on the map, while those rated 9 or 10 will be considered highest risk. In addition, the number of freshly discovered cases will only be published once daily. Czech automakers and parts manufacturers expect a fall of at least 215 billion crowns in revenues this year, representatives of the Automotive Industry Association said on Tuesday. While 1.4 million cars were produced in the Czech Republic last year, the figure for 2020 is expected to be 300,000 lower. This is because of an interruption in production and a fall in demand stemming from the coronavirus crisis. The downturn caused by the pandemic has already caused 150 billion crowns in losses, and these are expected to further deepen. The Minister of Education, Robert Plaga, says if the coronavirus situation in the Czech Republic doesn't deteriorate, children should be able to return to school in September without face masks, the news site idnes.cz reported. He made the comments while handing out end-of-year marks to pupils at an elementary school in Prague's Karlín district. Mr. Plaga said that the country's education system had handled the coronavirus situation wonderfully. During the summer, Ministry of Education officials will prepare special instructions on how school children can prevent the spread of COVID-19, he said. 20% of Czech adults have had to watch their spending in the wake of the coronavirus crisis, while 400,000 people, or around 5% of the population, have been left with serious financial problems, suggests a study conducted by the STEM polling agency and consultants KPMG. Finally, a look at the weather. It should be largely overcast in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with temperatures of up to 24 degrees Celsius. Further cloudy weather is expected over the following week. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Foreign Ministry has further eased travel restrictions at the start of the holiday season, and work has started on a new social network which is to connect the 2.5 million Czechs working and living abroad, a platform where they can socialise, find partners for startups or launch new projects. And finally, we'll be going to the Krkonoše, or the Giant Mountains, one of the most popular tourist destinations in the Czech Republic. And we'll be speaking to the head of the Krkonoše National Park about the problem of over-tourism. Stay with us. More tourists are now allowed to travel to the Czech Republic after the Ministry of Foreign Affairs updated its traffic light map of Europe and marked a further 8 non-EU states as having a low enough COVID-19 pandemic risk to visit the country. Tom McEncrow has the details.
As of Tuesday, Britain and Belgium are no longer seen as orange, medium-risk states on the Foreign Ministry's coronavirus travel map of the Schengen zone, meaning that tourists from these countries are again allowed to travel to the Czech Republic. The update was first announced at a press conference held by Foreign Minister Tomáš Petříček on Monday, who told Czech Radio that he was particularly happy about changes in the designation of the last travel-restricted region neighbouring the Czech border.
I'm glad that from Tuesday the whole of Poland should be in the green category. This should eliminate border controls with the Silesian province, which was in the red until now. In the case of Portugal, the situation is also improving, and from Tuesday, Portugal should fall into the orange category.
With Portugal and Silesia moving up on the scale, Sweden remains the last high-risk country on the Foreign Ministry's map of Schengen states. As far as the other Schengen members are concerned, their designations as low-risk remain the same. Aside from updates to the traffic light map, the Foreign Minister also announced the EU will be opening up its borders to tourists from 15 non-member states.
Hlavním tématem posledních dní bylo zda...
The topic discussed over the past days was whether, when, and under what conditions will it be possible to travel to non-EU states. We stressed that such an agreement should be unanimously accepted by all EU member states, as the situation is already messy right now, and a different approach would only complicate things further. For practical reasons, this would be beneficial, for example, for a Czech tourist traveling to Tunisia, Asian states, or Turkey, who can thus take the trip from Prague or Berlin under the same rules.
The EU did indeed release its list later that day. It contains Algeria, Australia, Canada, Georgia, Japan, Montenegro, Morocco, New Zealand, Rwanda, Serbia, South Korea, Thailand, Tunisia, and Uruguay. Tourists from these countries should therefore be permitted to enter the EU from July 1st. China has also been floated under the condition that the Chinese government offers a reciprocal travel deal for citizens of European Union countries. However, the Czech Republic has only agreed to travellers from 8 of these states being allowed entry to the country, namely Montenegro, Serbia, Thailand, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and South Korea. This selection was based around conditions outlined by Mr. Petříček, who stressed that the Czech Republic was especially open to travel from the Balkan states as well as COVID-19 safe countries in Asia, but with the express wish that those countries reciprocate the lifting of the travel ban to Czech tourists as well. In the end, reciprocal agreements allowing travel also for Czech tourists without a COVID-19 test was reached in the cases of Montenegro and Serbia. In regard to the other states, the condition was not met, but the ministry decided to allow travel to the Czech Republic, in part because of Czechs who may be returning from these countries. The EU's travel map is set to be updated every 2 weeks.
Tom McEncrow with that report. Moving on now, a team of Czech IT specialists have just launched a summer hackathon to give the 2.5 million Czechs living and working abroad something that has long been missing, a comprehensive new platform where they can meet, socialise, seek partners for startups or plan new projects. While there are many local support networks for Czech communities in different parts of the world, the Czech Global Network would be the first of its kind to serve Czechs and friends of the Czech Republic on many different levels, while strengthening ties to their homeland. I spoke to the head of the team creating Czech Global, Tomáš Studeník, about the added value of this new network.
Czech Global is a platform to connect Czechs around the world and also friends of the Czech Republic or anyone who has positive attitude towards Czech Republic. And the reason that we are building it over summer is that we realize that Facebook or other social media platforms don't solve everything. And if you are looking for someone who could help you to establish a presence, find home in a new country or find a job or start a business venture in a different country, there is no easy way to reach your compatriots currently. So this is why we try to build this platform that would make it possible for professionals that work abroad, that want to start a project in a different country and have a word about it with their fellow countrymen. Currently there is nothing, and we are, over the next 2 months, building a platform that should make this possible.
What are the priorities in building such a platform and making it successful enough for all these people to join? Because I'm sure they're on social networks elsewhere at the moment.
Yes, I mean, we are everywhere. We are digitized on all sorts of platforms, so why a new one? We believe that being able to discover the wealth of talents around the world will empower people around the world, will make it possible for new projects to be launched, new connections to be made, new families to appear, and it's only through the power of community that such a small nation as we are, the Czechs, can thrive in the world and have a larger say in global affairs.
Do you feel that the potential of Czechs abroad is generally unharnessed, that it's not being tapped enough?
That's right. The potential is there. Everybody agrees, no matter what field, science, technology, engineering, that there is potential. But what we have not been able to do is to make the connection, make international teams, and perhaps also have more courage and more pride in sharing the Czech home. So this should make it possible for the talent to be harnessed in a much better way globally.
Today you are launching a hackathon, a 2-month summer hackathon, to make this possible, to create this network, and you've called for volunteers. Who can come and help, and what is it that you need, and in what way can they help?
Well, anyone, no matter what expertise he or she may have, we are looking for developers, designers, but also for experienced users. So if you are a potential user of this platform, we want to have you on board to test it, fine-tune it, tell us what you would expect from such a project, what you miss on current platforms. It's very most valuable for us to learn at the beginning about what your pains are, what the benefits should be in the future for the community. So please, no matter who you are, where you are, give us a hand. Go to czech.global, that's the domain, so it's czech.global, and you can sign up, and we'll be happy to include you in this amazing project.
When can Czechs look out for it, and who will manage it?
We are building a prototype. It should take 2 months to build, like, the first version. It will not be perfect. It's a work in progress. But we are hoping that by the end of this year, of 2020, there'll be, like, a fully functional platform with a substantial number of users alive and kicking.
Tomáš Studeník is working on a new social network for Czechs abroad. Now, the Czech Global Network is being created with the support of the Czech Foreign Ministry, and both the creative team and the Ministry's Special Commissioner for Expats will be glad to get feedback from Czech expats, Czechs working or studying abroad, or friends of the Czech Republic in the course of the next 2 months. This will be a platform for all Czechs abroad, so do tell us what your priorities are and what you like to see. The contact address is www.czech.global. You'll also find it on Radio Prague's own webpage at the end of this report, so please don't hesitate to get in touch. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature with Ruth Frankova.
Krkonoše, or the Giant Mountains, are one of the most popular tourist destinations in the Czech Republic. Every year they are visited by hundreds of thousands of people. But dealing with the ever-growing number of tourists is becoming increasingly difficult. Just recently, the National Park Authority had to install new barriers on Sněžka to prevent people from destroying valuable nature at the top of the country's highest mountain. I discussed the problem of over-tourism with Jakub Kašpar, the deputy head of the Krkonoše National Park.
The problem of the top of Sněžka was connected with quite a high number of tourists or visitors who regularly broke quite a simple regulation that they are not allowed to go outside of the area which is dedicated to visitors. And this area was for years fenced by a chain, and those chains were accompanied by pictograms with clear message, don't step away from the area. And unfortunately, there were hundreds of people a day who were breaking this rule. And therefore, we have decided to install the fences around the top of the Mount of Sněžka to make the message much more clear than before. And until now, it seems that it works.
Is this problem actually related to the fact that the number of tourists visiting the top of Sněžka has been growing in recent years?
Probably there is a connection, because the higher the overall number you have, the higher number of those who are breaking the rules is as well. So the problem is that if you still have some 2% of people who are breaking the rules, the 2% from 500,000 is quite a huge number, much higher than 2% of, let's say, 50,000 people a year. And the top of Sněžka is visited just from the Czech side by 500,000 of people a year.
Why is it important not to step beyond the designated area?
You can imagine the top of Sněžka, or the area dedicated for tourists, as the soccer field, let's say. That's almost the same area. And just try to imagine the soccer field visited by 1,500 people a day. What will happen to the lawn? But outside of the fences, there is very sensitive and very valuable nature, which is very, very important, not only from the Czech point of view, but also from the European point of view, starting with geomorphological forms, which were formed by the nature, by ice and freeze, for dozens of thousands of years, and ending with very rare species of plants and very rare species of birds nesting there. And there are several species of birds which are nesting and living only on the slopes and top of the Mount of Sněžka in terms of all the Czech Republic. So we have at least three species of birds, very rare species, for which the Mount of Sněžka is one of the key places in all the country. That's the reason. And people usually think that there is nothing more than some stones around, but that's not true, actually.
And apart from Sněžka, which other locations in Krkonoše suffer most from over-tourism?
The answer is, of course, the top range of the Krkonoše Mountains is the mostly visited area. Unfortunately, this is the most sensitive area of the park. We call it Krkonoše Tundra, or the Arctoalpine Tundra, and it's very sensitive because of the fact that there is very limited time for regeneration and recovery of the nature, which is destroyed by the crowds of tourists, by people who are stepping away from the marked trails. And it is the same problem like inside the cities, in the parks, but inside the city like Prague, for example, the nature will recover after first rain. But in climatic circumstances which we have on the tops of the Krkonoše Mountains, it doesn't last a day. It lasts years and maybe decades when nature will recover, if there were no people. But there are thousands of people a day.
The Ministry of Environment plans to regulate the number of tourists not only in the Krkonoše Mountains but also in other national parks in the Czech Republic. Would you welcome this step?
We are at the beginning of the discussions. We are really glad that the Ministry of Environment started to realize the importance of such kind of measures which could help to regulate the numbers of visitors of specific places. We are discussing how to do it, how to organize it. We are not able to put such measures on this year. I'm not sure about the next year, because we have lack of capacities, financial capacities to install necessary software to register the tourists who would like to visit, let's say, the top of Sněžka. We have lack of people to control it, and we have to coordinate it also with the Polish side, because the top of the Mount of Sněžka is right on the border between the two states and the two national parks.
And talking about finances, I believe that the Polish part of the Krkonosze National Park has already introduced some fees for tourists. Have you considered doing something similar?
Yeah, the entrance fees is the reality of Polish part of the Krkonosze Mountains National Park for almost 30 years already, and it's very important source of income for the National Park Administration, which is being used to improve the infrastructure for tourists. There's the difference between Polish and Czech National Park, because the Czech National Park doesn't have any income from visitors. So it would help very much. So we have been considering such kind of measure. But until now, in the current situation of the legislation in the Czech Republic, it is not possible to start with any entrance fees to the national parks, not only to the Krkonosze Mountains, but all national parks in the Czech Republic.
So that means the legislation would have to change in order for you to do so?
You are absolutely right. The national law on the natural protection should be changed to make such thing possible.
Do you actually have any feedback from your visitors regarding the possible introduction of fees?
I would say frankly that it was surprisingly positive from my point of view. We have made quite a large survey among the visitors of the national parks on both sides of the borders the last 2 years. And one of the questions was focused on the fees. And we asked people if they think that to install the entrance fee also on the Czech part of the national park is a good idea. And we were surprised that more than 60%, it was I think 64% of people, said yes, it's a good idea to have an entrance fee. And maybe what's even more surprising for me, that it was more than 50% of Czech visitors who said, okay, we would welcome entrance fees in the level of, let's say, 1 euro. In the question, there was 30 Czech crowns per one visit.
And that is really a symbolic price.
Yeah, that's symbolic for tourists. But in the numbers of visitors we have in the Krkonosze Mountains National Park, it would be very serious source of money which are needed, especially for maintaining the tourism infrastructure we have in the mountains.
Looking into our neighboring countries, Germany, Poland and Austria, how do they deal with over-tourism? And are there any examples of good practice that you think could be an inspiration for the Krkonosze National Park to follow?
We are in quite a frequent contact with colleagues from other national parks in Europe, not only from the neighboring countries, and the solution is differing country by country. But the problem of over-tourism is European-wide, especially in Central Europe and in Western Europe. Almost all protected areas have the same problem at least last 5 years. So the solutions are very differentiated. It depends on national legislation. So we are trying to get inspiration, but what is most important for us is to go inside the corridor we have defined by the existing legislation. And of course, we are not absolutely independent body as a National Park Administration. We are part of the Department of the Ministry of the Environment. So we have to discuss all with our ministry, and everything should be decided by the Ministry of the Environment. And the ideal solution should be the same system which would be put on in all 4 national parks we have in the Czech Republic.
The number of Czech tourists in the Krkonosze Mountains is likely to be even higher this year due to the outbreak of COVID-19 and the fact that many people won't travel abroad this year. So apart from installing barriers on the top of Snezhka, are you planning to take any other steps to protect the most vulnerable locations?
We don't have many possibilities what to do, but we are just preparing our ranger service to do it. We are putting people from the offices like me, for example, to the voluntary ranger service during the summer season. And we are really curious what will really happen with the visitorship in our area, because borders are open, so people can go outside, but also foreign tourists can come again to the national park. And I would like to say that our rangers are ready, but still, if I speak about the regular professional rangers, we still have only 19 people to 550 square kilometers of the area they have to guard. And that's the problem we are not able to solve on ourselves.
Jakub Kašpar, deputy head of the Krkonoše National Park, speaking there to Ruth Frankova. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. And remember, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.